Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are hanging out with our Office 365, Microsoft 365, Washington, D.C. expert, Mr. Dux. How's it going?
Fantastic. Good morning. Happy snow day, Brad.
Yes. Yes. Depending. Well, I would say, like, depending on where you are, if it is a snow day. But man, we've had multiple back to back, like 48 hours apart, just dumping of snow. And the streak continues. And so, did you get any snow yesterday or last night or whatever?
It started midnight last night. So, yeah, it's still coming down. So I think we'll get 3 to 5 inches by tomorrow.
Wow. So I'm going to say something, and there's going to be two sides of this. People are going to say, wow, that's a decent amount of snow. And then there's going to be the other side that just laughs. Yeah. And for where I live, 3 to 5 inches of snow is, that's a decent chunk of snow.
Yeah. I mean, especially for here in Washington, D.C. too. I mean, we do get snow, but we're not like Chicago or Canada where we get massive snow.
Right, where 3 to 5 inches is any given Tuesday of the week. But Dux, there's been a lot of, we'll get to the mega announcement, but there's been a lot of interesting things. One of them came up for people who observe the Microsoft Message Center like I do on a basis. Microsoft is going to start cracking down on high volume email offenders. Now, these are like really high volumes, and Microsoft didn't give us how many people are actually offending it, but as Dux and I were chatting right before these, like, they clearly saw some people. But if you are getting more than 3,500 emails in an hour, first of all, I'm sorry.
Wait, in an hour or in a day?
I believe it's in an hour. Let me double check.
Who does that?
So, yeah, it's per hour. So if you are getting more emails than that, Microsoft is going to start throttling your account.
So, okay, who's the culprit? Is it Paul? Did Paul get that many emails?
So here's who I suspect. Like, there's a couple scenarios I was thinking, like, much like you, I'm like, geez, who is getting that much email per hour? So there's two like scenarios that I can think of potentially, but one of them I don't even think is all that realistic. One, if you have a really popular website and you have just like a generic catch-all email for when people email you, that might be one scenario. But there's another, Dux, and I actually helped a client many, many years ago set up a system like this. And this was, gosh, it's 2008, 2009. So some of the modern infrastructure wasn't there yet. But they had a bunch of different machines. It was a manufacturing facility. Mm. And these machines would kick out alerts for actually statuses, right? And it would be, and they were by like the half second. It would be operational, operational, operational. And what it would do is kick out an alert. Well, what the system we set up was, it actually dumped all the alerts. And there were probably 300, 400 sensors kicking this out, dumping those into an inbox. And then there was a rule in there looking for the word failed. And anytime that word failed came up, it would kick out at a proper alert to the admin or whoever. And so that was the scenario when I was like, who's getting this many emails? It's like probably somebody who set up a system where they're using an inbox for an alert platform, which in today's age isn't the appropriate way to go about it.
You know, similarly, I know of a, which I'm not going to name, a trading firm that sets something up like that with a shared inbox with all their traders. So it comes to one based on what they're trading on that day. And obviously these days, stonks is the big thing, right? I can imagine stuff like that happening.
Yep. Yeah. So that is my guess. And I suspect that it's a small number. And Microsoft even said like, hey, this limit has always existed, but they've just kind of been like, eh, whatever. Mm. But now they're going to start cracking down. And that is, I believe, going to start happening in April. So you've got a little bit of time to figure out your stonks emails, but you've definitely got to be on the lookout for that. If you even think, oh, by the way, on that, Microsoft will tell you if you're an offender, by the way. If you go into, I believe it's Exchange in the Admin Center and click Insights, it will actually say, hey, look, you are on the naughty list.
Hey, if you're on that list, I don't know, you may need to go to like a email rehab center.
It's just a lot. Like, if you are truly not using this for like an alert system, like there's no way anybody can handle that much. I mean, that's I'm not it's too early to do the math, but that's a lot of emails per minute. It's a lot, probably like 60, something like that, maybe more. Anyways, other things happening in the message center, but this one, Dux, this one made actually Petri blow up in traffic because Microsoft, Dux, have you ever noticed that Microsoft sometimes has a communication problem? Ever come across that?
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I thought they did a great job with Xbox.
So in the message center, it said, Teams Pro licensing is coming. And I was like, okay, so I see that. And they, you look at all the information, I'm like, all right, Microsoft's got a new Teams Pro license coming, and it's tied to webinars. And you know, I read that, like, why use Team Peasants when you can use Team Pro, right? Be a professional on Teams. And we wrote with that. Everybody kind of went crazy thinking, all right, Microsoft's going to charge more money to do webinars. And then they quietly updated the message. Says, okay, that's not actually what it is. And this was like 2 weeks after, maybe a week after the fact. And they said, actually, everybody just gets like Teams Pro as long as you're paying for it. It's just an entitlement to do webinars. So,
well, speaking of entitlement, let's talk about Viva.
Oh, man. So I've been curious, and I've been waiting for your insights on this. I interpret this as the intranet killer. What is your... It's not even a hot take at this point, because Viva was announced 10-ish days ago, something like that. Give me the Duck's take on Viva.
All right, so here's my take. I was in a very big debate early this week with a lot of intranet purists, and they were at odds with me. So first things first, friends, before we jump into it, let me give you a Cliff Notes version of what Viva is. So Viva is a new employee experience platform that's a part of Microsoft 365. And Viva, it's not a single thing. Viva has four components. We have Viva Communities, Viva Topics, and correct me, Brad, I'm just trying to keep up with these names. Viva Insights.
Yep.
And then Viva Topics, Knowledge.
Viva Knowledge is it. That's the one.
So it's four components, and the goal is to provide better employee experience. Excuse me. So to your question, right, when you talk about intranet, that really ties into Viva Communities. So the idea now is with Viva Communities, it's a Teams app. By the way, all these four things are surface in Teams as apps, but you can access it directly on the browser too. But Viva Communities will show up in Teams app, and it aggregates pretty much all information-related stuff, such as what you would see in intranet, Yammer interactions, and really to provide employee-related information into Teams.
Yep.
Now, to your question, is this the intranet killer? I would say yes and no. So here's my analogy, right? When did you start surfing the web, as you may recall?
Oh, that's a, whoa. Like the web we know like today?
Yeah. Not the internet. I mean, internet's been around since the late 60s. Yeah. But when the World Wide Web came out and websites started popping up, you know, back in those days, around mid-90s, late 90s, right about?
Yeah, something like that. Sounds about right.
So similarly, in the idea with the web is I feel like it's akin to the traditional internet. So when CNN.com first came out, for example, a news website, the only way you can consume the information is you have to go to CNN.com. And that is true with other websites, Wall Street Journal, what have you. Today, let me ask you, how do you consume your information or news? Is it just only by going to these news websites?
No, it's definitely not. There's multiple avenues, right? There's your traditional email, right? You get an email newsletter. Honestly, a lot of it comes from Twitter. Like I have curated feeds of various websites, and then YouTube actually is there's multiple endpoints for that.
And you can even ask Siri or Alexa, right? What's the news headline? So point being is technology has evolved. While certainly the news website is still there, but people consume and engage with information in different ways. And I think this is what Viva is about. It's not really going to kill the internet. It's going to be there. Mm-hmm. But think about the internet as the source where the single source of truth would live. And it's being exposed through multiple avenues, be it through Viva Communities and Teams, or maybe there may be a bot in Teams that I don't necessarily have to use Viva Communities. You can ask, hey, what's the latest update on our HR policy, right? Mm-hmm. Or Yammer as well, because the challenge we have today is, sure, the story around SharePoint Online as a new modern intranet, it's great. We get our knowledge, but all the engagement happens on Yammer. And those two are still disconnected. Even though they try popping up web parts, it's not rich experience where Viva brings that together. So things like when you have a town hall now next to, I don't know, related information with HR, and then you would see a Yammer conversation around that popping up Viva, and maybe And then you can even embed apps in Viva communities that HR-related apps. So that makes more sense, right? It gives, as again, that employee experience more holistic and seamless, and it reduces context switching because, as we know, Teams is the new OS. Microsoft wants you to live and work and breathe Teams all day long.
Interesting analogy. I don't disagree. It's like, to me, it's more of them just making, and you, I think, refer to it as a business OS. It really just makes Teams being almost the only application you could have open on your display and still get like a ton of work done and not have to truly leave, you know, that windowed environment. And I want to see the evolution of this and the execution, right? See how it all plays out, because there's a lot of, I think it's a right move. Like, I don't disagree with what Microsoft is doing here, right? They're taking things that exist outside of Teams, knowledge that is inside your corporation, and bringing it into an easier to use and consume package that right. is beneficial on multiple levels. The question is what's the execution? Well, the licensing is still a little dicey right now. It's like they threw out a figure of $5 per user per month, which some people are going to pay, some people aren't.
For what though? For each module or for the four modules?
Well, so this is where I kept asking them, and they said for the first module, the one that they announced, the initial one, it's like $5 per user per month. But they won't say what the additional modules are going to cost. And I'm assuming that they're going to be bundled, which might be a dangerous assumption. And we all know that in the enterprise world, large companies are not going to be paying $5 per user per month. That's just, you'll be able to.
On top of the
yes.
Microsoft 365 E3 or E5 license they have, right?
Yeah. I was having a joke with a friend, and it's, I wonder how many times Microsoft can get you to pay for SharePoint. Kind of became the conversation, because like this is all built on top of SharePoint, which Teams is built on top of SharePoint, and like you're licensing SharePoint all the way down. But it's all going to come back to execution. I'm optimistic about what they're doing. I want to see the execution and the rollout of how this plays out.
I think it's exciting, right?
Yeah.
And I think while some people may think, wow, this is all now a different audience they're trying to get to.
Yes.
Because employee experience is really talking to HR. It's talking to this new world and new work environment we're in. And rightfully so. And I think it's brilliant that Microsoft has the foresight to really do this, not just from a business perspective. Now they have a new buyer that they speak to. But at the same time, once this pandemic is over, the work environment is permanently changed, right? Yeah. And I think having technologies like this can definitely help and facilitate this new environment.
I think you just hit on a really interesting point. That you're right. Once the pandemic ends, the work model will change some, right? We'll maybe not all be going back into the office, but we'll be in the office at some point. And I think Microsoft is looking at it as like, how sticky and how many new workflows can we get into Teams before that happens? Because they know that once you go back into the office, you're not going to want to change up your entire Teams routine. And so they're trying to just really lock down and make Teams, again, to your point, nicely enunciated, just a perfect business OS.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. In our journey to be a public company, we get asked, so how would it impact your business once the world comes back? Because everybody's going back to the office.
Sure.
I go, it's not. It's the one thing people have to realize is this surge in going to the cloud, it's a permanent activity.
Right.
It's not like, oh, we're back to the office. Let's move everything back on-prem and let's go back to our old ways.
Mm-hmm.
No, the world has changed, right?
Yeah.
And the other thinking here is this. So I want to throw in another analogy because, again, I got into this heated professional conversation on the internet. There's the school of thought where we still need, you know, the internet where everything's organized and structured for records management and this, that, and point taken. But the analogy I have is this. Like, again, going back to our days of elementary, I guess, Brad, when you went to the library, how did you look up books?
Oh, man. You go up to like that. Well, there were two ways. You either asked a librarian about where something would be. If you're looking for something more like, not a Goosebumps titled book, you went to the Card Cat, you pulled it out, and you looked for the title, and it would give you the information about where it was located.
And this is called the Dewey Decimal System, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the internet. Okay, let me click on HR. Let me go to this folder. Let me go to North America. Let me look at the policies, which is fine. Some people still like it that way, and it can still exist. But if you ask your daughter today how she can find a book or information, this whole concept of looking up the card catalog, Dewey Decimal,
yeah,
what are you talking about, Dad, right?
Yeah.
They search it.
Yeah, I was going to say, her whole concept of finding anything is there's a little box with a thin line. You type whatever you need in the world into that, and then you hit enter, and then it will be right there.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with Viva. It's another way to consume and find and engage with information.
Yep. Microsoft actually, in their press release, or at least their press pitching, noted that this, by their analysis, or it might have been Gartner, somebody along that line, said that this is a $300 billion annual market, and that is one of the reasons why they are moving into that space, is to obviously try to capture some of that capital. And so Microsoft is a big believer in it, when they are a big believer, and this is one of those like proper Microsoft launches. Like sometimes we'll see a product come out or whatever, but this was like all tentacles of the Microsoft marketing machine firing at once, and so they are putting a lot of effort into this, which means that it's coming fast and it's coming big, so it'll be fun to watch.
I really wish Windows Phone still would have taken off, though.
Man, Ducks, why you got to go there and hurt me like that? Right? Because this is
No, but this is not the case. The difference with this is it's not net new, really. Like you said, it's built on top of 365, built on top of SharePoint. It's the way I think about it is, how do you do new with less, right? How do you do new with Microsoft 365?
Do new with less. Yeah, I like that. Do new with less. Well, Ducks.
Hold on. I remember now. I made a mistake. It's Viva Communities, Viva Topics, Viva Insights, and Viva Learning.
Learning, not knowledge. I was...
Yeah.
That's... I when you said knowledge, I was like, yeah, I think that's right. But it's the same.
Yeah.
Genre or whatever you want to call it. So yeah,
and I think that's cool too, because that when I saw that, I'm like, oh wow, this is the next evolution of learning pathways. So The cool thing with Viva, a lot of it, like I said, it's not new, but they package it up nicely. Like Viva Learning, if for those familiar in Microsoft 365, there's actually an app called Learning Pathways. It's free. You can pop it in your environment and essentially delivers training around Microsoft 365. So they extended that. And now they can even port in other learning providers, LinkedIn Learning, Pluralsight, Skillsoft, what have you.
Fantastic, Ducks. What else is happening in your world, my man? Obviously, you all are marching, I don't know how much you can say, but marching towards that public IPO SPAC merger. Anything else going on in the world at AvePoint?
So working on that, and obviously a lot of, we just made a bunch of different announcements recently. One of the big ones is, we're doubling down in partnering with the Microsoft partner ecosystem. We're going to blow up our channel, our partner business.
Nice.
My colleague Jason, who came from Palo Alto Networks and Ingram Micro, is leading that charge. We're very excited because what we can offer other than our core capabilities is really provide MSPs or partners to help their customers with collaboration security. And that's obviously a big deal these days, where a lot of organizations are in the cloud. So that's top of mind for us, is working together with other partners so that their customers can collaborate with confidence.
I dig it. I don't know how to, I've seen, obviously I follow yourself and TJ and a bunch of your fellow colleagues, and seen you all have done quite a bit of hiring. You've gotten some big names brought over there. It's fun. It's fun to watch this stuff. Watch you. I don't want to say grow up, because that would personify that you weren't grown up initially. But this is like becoming, going from like a company to like a company. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's cool to watch.
No, thank you, and we're grateful for everybody, you know, friends and family and colleagues in the industry, and it's just been an amazing time. It's a lot of work,
sure.
But we're really grateful, especially around this time where. You know, there's challenges during the pandemic, but we're really, really privileged to be a part of this journey and helping a lot of organizations transform.
Very cool. And if you want to find more about Ducks, you can find, I wonder if I can get this right. So like over here will be his Twitter, and over here will be a link to AvePoint. So that'll be down on the Petri post below. So make sure to click those links. And as always, shoot us your questions. We love your questions. We'd love to know what you all think of Viva. And we'll catch all of you right back here next time on The Enterprise Dish.